Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Danny Wallace. Radio
X. Well, hello and welcome to podcast number 33 from the Important Broadcast. And that noise you can hear in the background is not some fancy bed that we've developed over years of research and marketing. What do people want to hear? They want to hear this kind of easy music. Also, I'm in a studio, a soundproofed studio. So where on earth could this music be coming from, Joe?
Well, I've a feeling that it's got something to do with that moving image over your left shoulder.
Over my left shoulder in a sort of dictatorial, sort of like a Big Brother 1984 thing. Yeah. It's just the face of Steve. Imagine it. It's black and white. He's wearing a black polo neck right up to the very... it'd be great if he was. He's not. He's in a barber jacket. But Steve, you're in Portsmouth.
I am in Portsmouth. Hello.
Hi. So this is a strange way to begin a podcast, but we'll get to it. What is on this week's podcast?
We play Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
That's right.
I Get Wet in the Rain.
Very wet.
And we have a couple of little jokes.
There are. Yeah, there's one or two little jokes. See if you can spot them. As we say, welcome to Podcast 33. Radio X. The Important Broadcast is 33 shows old. 33. The same age as Jesus was when he died. And there will be times during today's long broadcast when you will feel like shouting out his name and asking how he could allow such suffering. But, like Jesus, I bring good news. Today, the Important Broadcast is proud to announce a heavenly prize for those who deserve it. A commemorative special edition collector's copy of the teachings of Episode 30.
We've painstakingly transcribed every word of Episode 30. Every 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 half-thought-out idea or comedy cul-de-sac. Preserved forever, verbatim, for you to enjoy again and again. Once.
I don't even remember what was in it.
This limited edition, leather-bound transcript will genuinely be made available to one senior listener per week. You might think this is a joke, but thou shouldst know us.
If you'd like to be the first recipient of the Gospel of Episode 30, have faith. Details will follow in the coming weeks.
You will be allowed to make notes in the margins where our profound lessons have struck you, but then you'll be asked to pass the holy transcript on so that others may benefit from its profound wisdom.
Plus, you can win a dream cottage worth £200,000.
You're confusing it with the Daily Mail.
The teachings and wisdoms of Episode 30, preserved for eternity, transcribed flawlessly, so that thou mightst learn from us all that will help you in your once meaningless life.
Yours to borrow and pass on.
Be part of history.
Win a cottage!
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Guys, 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 guys. It's the Important Broadcast.
Radio X.
And it's a weird one. It's a weird one this week. Because I'm here. I'm sitting where I normally sit. And Joe is here also. Get into the music, Joe.
Get into the music to you. I'm sat where I normally sit.
You are sitting where you normally sit. It's like a tradition, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But to my right, there is no Steve Ferdinando. Now, how on earth has this happened?
Could be late.
Could be late. Or he could be in Portsmouth.
Or that.
Those are the only two possible explanations.
Those are the boxes that we tick when Steve doesn't turn up. Is he late?
Or is he...
Could be in Portsmouth.
Simple Portsmouth. And if we fade up that little fader right there, we should be able to hear him. Steve Ferdinando, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Steve. So you are in Portsmouth, I was right.
I'm in Portsmouth, yeah, I'm not late.
And you're at the Victorious Festival, am I correct in saying that?
I'm at the Victorious Festival, you are correct. I'm actually in the Strongbow Yard.
Yeah, owning summer.
I'm owning summer, mate. I mean, it's not very summery right now.
No. Paint us a picture of... it sounds quite subdued there at the moment. I mean, it's only, you know, just after 11 on a Sunday. That's fair enough. It also sounds quite rainy.
Yeah, if you listen closely, you can actually hear the tarpaulin of the stage I'm on flapping against it. It's very wet and windy.
It's a bit windy, isn't it,
it's
as well? So, just
luckily,
to sum up...
there's a DJ smashing out bangers just to the left of me. So,
that's good. So not close enough for you to actually enjoy it.
No, but so definitely close enough to interfere with this broadcast.
So you're sitting on a stage on your own?
Oh, completely by myself.
Sitting on a stage, are there weather covers?
Yeah, I'm a bit covered, but because of the wind, the rain is kind of blowing onto me.
So again, sitting on your own, exposed to the elements, yeah. On a stage for some reason.
With absolutely nobody in the field in front of me.
No, and no one there can hear, like, no. What I'm saying. So you're just on display. Are you on a little chair?
On a little chair, yeah. On a little stool. behind a computer. No, it's good though. I'm a roaming journalist here.
But you're tethered to the stage. You're not roaming.
Well, roaming in terms of the country, I suppose.
Well, you're in Portsmouth. So basically, this is sort of like an outreach program, isn't it? Various presenters have been going down. Johnny Vaughan was down there doing a very entertaining live show. Gordon Smart was talking to Sean Ryder on stage just a day or two ago. Just yesterday. Very, very brave to do that. I'm staying very much here.
Yeah.
And you're out there where civilians may be able to approach you and even speak with you.
They could do, yeah. I mean, there's no civilians here at the moment, but it is just gone 11, so...
Well, if any civilians are listening and you happen to be at the Victorious Festival and you'd like to go and meet Steve, he's on his own, sitting on a stage, on a stool, and maybe don't try and talk to him initially. Just throw a couple of coins at his feet, sort of like tipping. Would you be happy with that, Steve?
Yeah, please. I need someone to talk to.
Okay, well, we'll be sort of talking with Steve throughout. I mean, I'm not sure how we're going to... Seeing as nothing's really happening there at the moment, it is early. I don't know how we're going to keep that going.
He's not got an awful lot to report on.
Not much, but perhaps you'd like to go and, just throw coins at his feet. We'll be talking about a very strange text that Joe sent me to do with the footballer Michael Owen, and we'll play Tell Me Something I Don't Know. All coming up, but here's Blossoms.
Danny Wallace. This is Radio X.
Blossoms on Radio X. Morning, everybody. You're with The Important Broadcast with me, Danny Wallace, sitting opposite the iconic producer, Joe Attiwell, and live from Portsmouth, Steve Ferdinando. Steve, are you there?
All right, all right.
Has anything happened? Has anyone thrown coins at your feet yet?
No coins, but I do have my own security guard now.
Oh, really? How did that happen?
I don't know. He just walked up and started standing by the stage.
Now, are you sure he's a security guard and not just a large man?
He's got a high vis on. So
okay, fair enough.
That is my...
What's his name?
I don't know. I've not spoken to him. He just comes to it.
It's a bit rude, Steve.
So how do you know he's your security guard?
He's just standing by the stage. I don't know.
So there's just basically all that's happened is there's a man standing by a stage.
In a high vis.
These are live updates from the Victorious Festival in Portsmouth. It doesn't seem like a great way to have spent our money sending Steve there.
Steve, what was your what is your remit over the weekend? What boxes do you have to tick?
Hmm. I'm just going to bring a little bit of colour, guys.
Go on then.
Well, no, I'm doing all the socials. So if you head over to our Instagram page, you can see lots of wonderful things that we've been up to over the last few days.
Fair enough. There'll be a mad rush now as people dash for their phones and turn off their radios. Stephen, I got a strange text from Joe this week that it simply said the following: Michael Owen has never had a cup of tea.
Oh, right.
Can you imagine such a thing?
And is I'm that there. A fact?
Well, I hoped it was. I was a bit befuddled when I got it. I was like, why is he telling me this? And then I thought about it, and I thought, that is strange, isn't it? Tell me more, Joe, about this story you've uncovered.
According to his interview in The Mirror, Michael Owen has never had a cup of tea.
And, you know, it sounds very boring, doesn't it?
It does a bit.
It's kind of interesting as well. It's kind of fascinating. And it got me thinking about the normal boring things that I've never done. Mm. Like, for example, I've never been on a roller coaster.
What?
Quite right.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, well, we'll have to organise that, surely.
We won't. Shall I tell you why?
Are you scared?
No. The fact that I've never been on a roller coaster, if I now go on a roller coaster, I won't be able to say I've never been on a roller coaster. And it's almost the most interesting thing about me, that, and I've never eaten a prawn.
Oh, they're really nice.
I doubt it.
Don't.
Well, you know, I firmly believe this.
You've never eaten a prawn, sorry.
That's right, Steve.
Have you had prawn cocktail crisps?
Yeah, but the you know, I don't think that's made with real prawn, is it?
No, I'm just wondering if you like those crisps, then surely you would branch out and try a real prawn.
Prawn cocktails, prawn crackers. I'm crackers for the prawn. The synthetic prawn.
For flavoured prawn.
Steve, what is a normal, boring thing you've never done?
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, because they've got these little table football tables here. I've never, ever played table football.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, seriously, I was looking at it and I was like, oh, that actually looks like quite good fun.
It's a wonderful game for wonderful people. I'm terrific at it. I'd be happy to teach you. But again, then that would make you less interesting once you've done it. Joe, anything from you?
I've, you know, in hotels...
I do.
I've never used a Corby trouser press.
Yeah,
I've never used one of those.
I don't think anyone's ever used one of them. I don't know why they're there.
I wouldn't ever want them to disappear from hotel rooms, though. I like that they're
there.
Yeah.
I wonder who Corby is. You know, he's pulled off an amazing scam, hasn't he? Yes. Convincing everyone they need a trouser press.
Yeah.
And yet no one's ever used one. 83936 is my number. Why not text me and tell me about a boring thing that you've never done, a surprisingly normal, ordinary thing that you have never done. Maybe you've never had a prawn like me. Maybe you've never used a trouser press. 83936. Steve, are you happy there, still on your own on a stage in the rain?
Yeah, wind's picking up a bit, but I think a band are starting to sound check, which will be good.
That'll be terrific.
So, over here.
We will look at the newspapers in just a few moments, but all of it after this.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
Now, the five-star challenge, Joe. We're just leaving Steve just to be on his own on the stage just for a moment or two, just because, you know, it does get noisy, and I think it's getting to him.
It is a bit, and he's got several coats on now. He looks a bit cold.
Yeah, he looks cold. He looks beaten. he's been told, look, you have to go there, and you have to sit on a stage in the rain, and it's windy as well.
Yeah.
And there are youths, you know. And,
yeah.
I think he's nervous around youths.
Yeah, the bigger boys.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be picked on, and that's fair enough. So we'll leave him there, even more on his own. As we say, the five-star challenge is an interesting challenge that we give each week to the listener. You have to go to your podcast provider. You have to click. It's a secret. You click the fifth star along, the fifth star on the right.
Yeah, we really oughtn't say it, but we do every week. It's naughty to say it, really.
What? Why? Because we're giving it away.
To give it away, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a backhand.
It's a bit of a backhand that you'll only get if you listen to this important broadcast. And this is the review of the week. It's by Ricky Flip, who I think he sounds like a great dancer.
Ricky Flip.
Ricky Flip is like a sort of like he's the one of the guys from Diversity or something.
Oh yeah.
The heist we all need, the crew we all deserve.
Excellent.
They called him the Peacock. Oh, he loved to put on a show for the ladies, and he had a captivating charm that made him the best confidence man in the city. He'd need every bit of his skill for the next job. He reclined in his leather office chair and made a steeple with his hands. He sighed, contemplating the enormous task ahead of him. If I'm going to do this, I'll need a crew, he said to his dark, empty office. The Peacock reached into his pocket and pulled out a key. He used it to unlock the bottom desk drawer. Pushing aside the whiskey bottle and glass, he pulled out a stack of dusty files and dropped them on his desk with a thud. This Vaughn...
Hey!
Too loud. Wood?
Babies love Biffy Clyro.
Too soft. None of these guys were right for this job. The Peacock reached for the bottle he'd shunned earlier and poured himself a generous drink. Taking a long sip, he opened the next file. Joe, the producer, Attiwell. Oh, this was more like it. A real pro that wasn't afraid of the big jobs. He'd done his time and gets the job done. He's in. Next was a man of many names. The nitwit, the urchin, the Ghent billionaire, the movie critic, a true master of misdirection. This guy's the perfect decoy and distraction for a big gig like this one. Steve Ferdinando is in. The Peacock contemplated the plan and his two-man crew. This job was going to be the hardest thing he'd ever done. And we'll do part two shortly.
Oh.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
Today, and today only, Steve Ferdinando sitting on a stage in Portsmouth on his own. Steve, you just sent me a video of what you can see around you. Mm. And it is unusual.
it's the weirdest thing you guys have ever made me do.
There's just a man near you in a high-vis vest, and then just beyond him, three or four people wearing polythene, sort of plastic ponchos, which are just rising up as the wind and the rain batter them. I hope I'm not sort of doing this festival down by saying that. You're having a nice time.
Oh, the festival's been absolutely amazing. And like yesterday, the sun was out and it was great, and there's some awesome acts on today. It's just a little wet right now.
It's just a little wet right now. That's all it is.
Someone just came up to me and they were like, oh, hi. And I was like, hey, here comes a listener. And then they just went, who's broadcasting from here today? And I was like, I am. And they both just went, oh, okay. And walked off.
Oh, no. And they didn't give you a coin or anything?
Nothing. No, I don't think they even knew who I was.
Well, again, if anyone's at the Victorious Festival and they fancy just throwing a little tip at Steve's feet, almost like in medieval times, I imagine, if they saw someone they thought might be a goblin, you'd have to pay a sort of like a goblin tax.
A goblin tax?
Yeah, I'm sort of making this up as I go along, Steve.
Sorry, I've got some hecklers. Sorry.
Oh, dear me.
Guys, I'm broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry about this.
No, tell them you're broadcasting importantly.
I'm importantly broadcasting, guys. Oh, no, they've walked off now.
Fair enough.
Don't hang around long.
No, good. Let's fade Steve down, because it's getting horrible to listen to. As I say, Joe, we asked people what they've never done, right? Boring things they've never done.
Yeah, nothing like bungee jumping or going to space, but just, like Michael Owen, has never had a cup of tea.
Hmm. Well, one person says, I've never had hiccups.
I don't believe that.
Really?
I mean...
You're calling them a liar.
Well, maybe they just eat really slowly, and that's a good idea. You should eat slowly. You should enjoy your food. So maybe they haven't.
Well, that's nice. What you should do is, as I read these out, you could just give a little bit of advice to each one. Richard has never seen The Sound of Music.
Go and watch it.
Very good. I've never written the abbreviation of laugh out loud. I'm 35 years old, so I'm not going to start doing so now. And interestingly, they don't even put brackets LOL there to explain it.
No.
And that's Daniel. What advice would you give him?
Don't feel pressure to do it. If you don't like it, that's fine. But what I would say is, you know, check out emojis.
Oh, okay. Ali in Exeter has never been to IKEA or eaten a kebab.
You could combine the two. Just
what a day.
Just don't get grease on the bedding.
Victoria's never watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Same as Richard, watch it.
John in Aldershot has never been to a football match.
Oh, there's lots of them. You could go easily.
Well, that's true. Alan says, at 29, I've never made a hot beverage. Once a couple of years ago, I had to cover a reception for an hour. Someone came for a meeting, and as he waited, I panicked and asked if he wanted a coffee. Black with two sugars, he said, but he may as well have been talking Japanese. I had to go and find a proper adult to make it.
You could be mates with Michael Owen.
Yeah.
You'd never have to make him one.
No. Paul in Mile End has never been to the cinema. Andrea in Glasgow has never been to the dentist. Sam's never been to Lowestoft. Lauren's never played a board game. And Jay has never touched a cat.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
There's two of those that stick out to me. Definitely go to the dentist. Really good idea to do that. And cats are nice.
Just touch a cat. Just get out there. Live your life. Fight. Just walk down the streets. Yeah, every time you see a cat, just touch it.
As long as it doesn't mind being touched, they can be aggressive.
Well, you say that, but you'll never know unless you touch a cat.
Absolutely.
If you take one lesson from today's teachings, get out there. I know it's rainy. I know it's windy. But just find some cats and touch them.
For goodness sake, touch a cat.
Live your life. Here's Queen on Radio X. Touch a cat.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
I'll tell you what's very odd that's just happened in this studio, in the Studio Important Broadcast. So we're here, me and Joe. The studio is green. There's a window out to the world outside, which looks pretty dark and dull out there today.
Yeah, very wet and windy.
And then just a very odd moment happened, didn't it? Where suddenly the walls started flickering.
They did.
Right? So there's all logos everywhere. And one of the logos just flickered and changed. I was like, what's happening here? And it was like someone communicating from the outside.
I'm sure there was a distinct sort of rumble of the very foundations of the building as well.
Foreboding feeling. And then, and I had no idea this was going to happen. I don't even know how it's happened. Steve has appeared on the screen. Like, how is it? What magic is this?
There are many, many pieces of technology in this room, so many of which I don't know what they do.
This is like a Bond thing. It's just like, Steve, I can now see you sitting alone, isolated, mildly depressed, on a stage on your own in Portsmouth. How did this happen? Who was it? The large man with the high vis that you were describing earlier? Has he pressed a button or something? How are you magically now in front of me?
No, I don't know.
And also, what use is this technology for the listener?
I don't know. It makes things easier for us, maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Robin just came over to me.
Who's getting something out of this?
Radio is an increasingly visual medium.
yeah. Although, is it?
No.
Okay, so Steve, so what's the lowdown? What's the gossip? What's been happening? The Prodigy are playing tonight, Friendly Fire's a little bit later on, but I want you to tell me about the real people's experience. You've been out there amongst them, breathing them in. Yeah. What's on their mind? What are they excited about?
People are very excited about Real Ale at this festival.
Real Ale.
And Strongbow.
Okay, good.
And that is what it's been. We've been at the Strongbow Yard. I've been trying to... I met Sean Ryder yesterday, actually.
And
I was taking a picture of him. And then
with his permission?
With his permission, yeah, of him and Gordon Smart. Uh-huh. And then he went, wait, come here, you need to look at my new teeth.
Ooh.
And then he made me get really close up to him and look at his teeth.
What is it about you that put him so at ease that he singled you out amongst everyone else and said, come here and look at my teeth?
I know, it was absolutely bizarre, isn't it? They were good teeth, though, to be fair.
Really? That's great. That's another exclusive. Have you popped that out on social media?
I want that on social media, yeah.
Well, that'll be very good. I'll tell you something a bit weird that I've just discovered. Jamaica has had to issue a statement saying it has not banned all Korean pop music.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Imagine having to issue a statement about all the things you haven't done.
Perhaps we should. We should devote the whole second hour of the show to all of the things that we're fine with.
Okay, well, actually, we could use some of the text that we've had in.
Could
and
do.
Just say we'd like to issue a statement that Jay has never touched a cat.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of work for Steve, but I think that's fine. So we will leave you there, Steve, but what's happening? Just describe everything around you right now.
There's people running for shelter at the moment.
Okay, good. Well, that is what happens when the important broadcast begins.
This is Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Currently sitting alone on a stage in the rain in Portsmouth, Steve Ferdinando. There he is. I can see him. He looks pensive as the crowds begin to grow, I suppose. You must feel a little bit awkward there.
I do feel a little bit awkward, and it's just got a lot more awkward
because
you are now appearing on the stage.
Oh, right. Hi. Am I? How is this happening? Because there are cameras in this studio, so now I'm technically on a screen at a festival.
Yeah, you are now broadcasting. You're headlining, if anything.
Yeah, but no one can hear me.
No one can hear you, no. It's like a really weird FaceTime.
It's very odd, Steve. It's like you're doing some kind of one-man abstract sort of high-concept art performance.
Yeah, I do feel a bit like that. Maybe I should start doing more abstract art.
Yeah,
could do.
You could do. Steve, I'm now going to deliver four news stories in just 4 minutes. You are there to react in some way, which is going to feel weird.
It does. It can't feel any weirder than it already does, mate.
No, this is a very odd way. It's all very odd. Anyway, Steve, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, mate.
Okay, start the timer, Joe. A live explosive was found inside what, Steve?
I don't know, a pineapple?
Could be a pineapple, but how on earth would it get in there, Steve?
I don't know.
No, it was instead found inside a squid.
Oh, right. Well, how did it get inside a squid?
Well, easier than it would it get into a pineapple, I would imagine. So this was a Chinese fishmonger was gutting a squid for a customer. So the customer came in, I want that squid there. He went, give me a second, I'm just going to gut this squid. And he gutted it, and then he found a live bomb inside the squid's belly. Now, the squid was said to have been caught in the waters off China's Guangdong province. It was taken to this fish market, and it said all they can think of how would a bomb get inside a squid, inside a random squid? Apparently, it was just dropped in the water by a fighter jet and then gobbled up by a squid.
Really? Do squids eat bombs?
Apparently so.
How big is this squid?
You can get pretty bad food poisoning from seafood, can't you? But that's another level. That signifies the end of that story. A man who slapped a hippo's bottom...
Yeah, just leave it there.
At a zoo in LA, is still at large.
Oh, no.
No, I don't know why. They just said he's got away with it, basically. It's not like hippos have to be nervous about being assaulted by this man, or that anyone's going to not go to sleep. They're going to lock their doors at night. No, oh, my God, the hippo bottom slapper is still at large somewhere. So this is a fella. He crept into LA Zoo purely, it seems, so that he could slap a hippo's bottom. And he's seen in this video footage climbing over a railing, creeping up to the hippos, and then smacking a four-year-old hippo called Rosie bottom.
In a friendly way or in like a kind of flirty way?
Well, this is it, you know. What is the intent there? But also it's like, what did you do today? Oh, I paid $48 to go to LA Zoo to slap a hippo's bottom. Do you think it's a thing? Like that song, I Like Big Butts. Do you think that could be just... Oh, probably wise. Probably wise. Perhaps he's just a bottom enthusiast. Which one should I do of these two? All right, this one. Jack Wood mentioned this earlier, but parrots are able to make complex economic decisions, Steve. Your right. thoughts?
Well, they can speak, can't they? So I guess, why not, I suppose?
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I don't know if I'd let a parrot do my accounting, but...
Well, maybe you should, because they seem to make terrific decisions, with great green macaws deemed the best traders. So what they do is, scientists found that when they were offered a low-quality food or a token, the parrots would always choose the token if it turned out it would eventually get them a better food prize. Should try this on you, Steve. She said, in our experimental setting, we found that parrots are capable of making surprisingly subtle decisions to maximise their payoff while making, minimal effort. Again, sounds like you.
Yeah,
so many of them are now working full-time in the city. Trading in Bitcoin. This, I think, is my favourite story of the week. A Russian city commissioned a statue, right? However, they've only just realised that the artist did the wrong person. So for the last 7 years, this statue has been up in St. Petersburg, and it's supposed to be a monument dedicated to a guy called Jean-François Thomas de Thomon. But the artist, right, he just went, I don't know anything about this fella. So he just looked him up on Wikipedia, and he got the wrong guy. He got a guy called Tommy Thompson.
Tommy Thompson.
Who was a Scottish chemist.
Like a boot.
And then he just cracked on. And I think he probably realised quite quickly what he'd done, but he just kept quiet for 7 years until someone went, do you know, that doesn't look anything like the guy it's supposed to be. But it does look a lot like Tommy Thompson, the Scottish chemist. The guy's just come clean. And he said, we didn't ask any historians. We just got it off the internet. Isn't that amazing how these mistakes can... It sounds like something you'd do.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't... like, own up to that.
It sounds like there's a fight brewing in Portsmouth. I mean, that's something that's said a lot.
It's really started kicking off in here during that link, guys. The DJ has cracked it up.
And they've lit you up. So now not only are you on your own, but you are just on your own and lit up as hooligans and ne'er-do-wells rise from their tents.
Yeah, there's people playing table football. I've got the stage lights on.
Oh, man. Are you feeling quite uncomfortable?
Yeah, I have a little bit, yeah.
That's the way to enjoy a festival.
Danny Wallace.
This is Radio
X. You're still to meet a listener.
Still to meet one.
And no coins have been thrown at your feet.
No, I thought someone was coming over to speak to me, but they'd actually just lost the ball to the table football.
Okay. They're probably just intimidated. Very intimidated by your broadcasting presence.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
We're going to play Tell Me Something I Don't Know. I'm guessing you have not researched any facts yet, Steve. I'm right, aren't I?
No, I'm all good to go.
Really? What are the topics?
Portsmouth.
He's done. He's done nothing. We'll play that in just a few minutes' time. All of it after this.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
Part two, then, of the review of the week by Ricky Flip. Now, just set the scene, Joe. Tell us, remind us where we are in this caper.
So up until this point, there's a peacock in a dark office with hands.
Yep.
Which I like the steeple bit, hands in a steeple.
Imagine.
He's plotting or planning, I think.
Some kind of job. Mm. And so far he's recruited Steve Ferdinando and you.
Yeah.
Now, obviously it makes sense for me to join the gang as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, we'll work together and we do this. Mm. So I'll be very offended if I now start reading and he gets someone else in, like he's a Depp.
I hope not.
Well, here we go. For a gig as big as this one, the Peacock would need a great leader to run the crew.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at his files. There was no one here that was up to that task. He gathered up the papers and returned them to the desk drawer. He stood up from his chair and took the four steps across his office to the book cabinet. There he located the listener pad, well thumbed and completely filled out, and removed it. Behind the listener pad on the wall was a small red button. As he pressed it, the whole bookshelf slid to the side to reveal a safe built into the wall. 1049. The safe gave a satisfying click with the combination entry. Inside was a red telephone with just one button on it. The peacock knocked back the rest of his drink and slowly reached for the phone. He lifted the receiver and pressed the button. It was ringing. It rang for a while. So long that the peacock was starting to worry that this job was never going to happen. It was a silly idea, really. Who could even think about getting into this place? Finally, the phone was picked up. There was no voice on the other end. "I have a job for you," said the peacock. "It ain't going to be easy." No answer. This was good news. If he wasn't interested, he'd hang up. The peacock explained the job and the plan to his silent interlocutor. Interlocutor.
Never heard the word, couldn't possibly say.
Interlocutor. I've seen it, I've never said it. It's a first for me.
There you go.
I like today, I mean, saying that. He detailed the crew he'd chosen, the timings and the fee. After a short silence, the voice finally came back down the phone line.
"I'm in."
The peacock sighed with relief. "Thank you, Mr. Wallace." "It was me."
"Oh, good."
He hung up the phone and allowed himself a small fist pump of celebration. The stage was set, the crew was ready, the plan was foolproof. It was time to get into the music.
Oh.
Ricky Flip, you know, a review in two parts. It told a tale. There was a lot of detail in there.
I just love the idea of a peacock with fists.
Yeah, he's fist pumping. A fist pumping peacock. The fist pumping peacock of Amsterdam. I don't know why, it just sounds good.
Yeah.
The fist pumping peacock of Amsterdam. You know, if that Russian fellow was going to do a statue, if he wants to stay in this game, although I think he's probably limited his career options now, hasn't he, by doing a statue of someone else.
Yes.
Then, I think the fist pumping peacock of Amsterdam might be it.
Make it so.
Danny Wallace. Radio X.
It is Sunday. It is the important broadcast. And that was your news. I noticed, Joe, there was nothing in there about the hippo slapper.
No.
The hippo slapper still at large. Please don't be nervous. He's thousands of miles away if you do have a hippo. There was a guy last week in the news, wasn't there, who got out of his car just to shout at a bison.
A not uncommon occurrence.
Well, it depends how many bison you pass on your way in. But what's going on, Joe? Why are people so sort of angry at large, strange animals?
We need to embrace our animal cousins.
We do. Did you see the video that everyone was passing around of the peacock taking flight?
It brought a tear to my eye.
Brought a tear to my eye. Because we talk a lot about peacocks on this show. You won't believe how many people sent me that video.
How many?
Probably about 10.
I believe it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's extraordinary. Let's see if there are things you won't believe when we play Tell Me Something I Don't Know in just a few minutes' time. Plus, I think there's a couple of other things I want to talk about. Yes, I want to talk about the holy text that we will be passing around.
Oh, yes.
I will explain more about that.
This is Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Martin, senior listener Martin got in touch to say he was going to come down just to have a little look at you.
Oh, great.
But it's raining. So he's going to stay in and play video games.
Oh, good. Well, come on, mate. Come on, Martin.
Well, no, you know, it is very wet there. I mean, you are sopping wet. I'm looking at you now.
Oh, yeah, you can see me, can't you?
Very, very wet, man.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
But, well, you are happy, aren't you? Because you're serving the listener.
Yeah, I suppose. I've got a nice barber jacket on, though. I'm feeling good, actually.
That's
very
good.
I just sent someone to get me some water.
Did you?
Yeah.
This is all interesting stuff, Steve. Steve, let's play Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
Radio X.
Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
This is where facts are currency and learning is what, Joe? I didn't know how to finish it.
Encouraged, necessary, and exciting.
Thank you. All those things and many more. We'll go around the table. Each of us has prepared two facts. One of us only prepared them in the last 30 or 40 seconds, Steve. I was watching you. And I think that one of your facts is going to be very good because I saw you chuckle to yourself.
Yeah, you get ready.
Okay, good. So we'll deliver two facts and then the scores, you know, are delivered afterwards. Joe, you begin this week.
Are you sure?
Yes, please. Why don't you tell me something I don't know?
Okay. Did you know that your left lung is smaller than your right lung? It's to accommodate your heart.
Okay. No, I did not know that.
There you go.
Steve?
I did not know that, no.
No, we didn't know that. Well done.
I'll take 2 points, thank you.
Please, with our compliments. Did you know this? In 1907, imagine that, An ad campaign for Kellogg's Corn Flakes offered a free box of cereal to any woman who would wink at her grocer.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't know that.
The slogan was, wink at your grocer and see what you get.
Oh.
And what you'd get is a box of cornflakes.
Box of cornflakes, yeah.
You know that?
No, that's disturbing. I didn't know that.
I'm not sure it's that disturbing.
Well, it's just, it's an odd campaign.
It is an odd campaign. But here we are still talking about it 111 years later.
Must have worked.
That's marketing. Steve.
Hello. Did you know that there are seven other cities called Portsmouth on this planet?
Where are they?
Yeah, where are they?
Can you guess where they are?
America.
They're all in America.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So which part of that? Because I didn't know there were seven other ports. What's the plural of Portsmouth?
Portsmouth.
Okay.
Portsmouths, surely.
It could well be.
Yeah.
Portsmouth. Very good grammar joke.
Mouth.
Yeah, but that's great. Write that down, everyone. I didn't know that. Did you?
No, I didn't know that.
Great. Joe, your second and final fact.
Did you know that China, despite spanning five geographical time zones, only uses one time zone? The whole of China is one time zone. So in some places, the sun doesn't come up till 10 a.m.
Really?
Really, really.
Wow, I did not know that.
No, I didn't know that.
It makes it easier, doesn't
until
it?
Until I knew it.
But also very inconvenient.
Did you know that, Steve?
So the farmers are just, you know, working in the dark.
Well, they get lions.
Oh, I suppose they do. Always on the bright side. Here's another one for you. Did you know this? On April the 18th, 1930, it was a Good Friday, the BBC skipped the usual news bulletin and instead just said, there is no news, and then just stuck an opera on.
I knew that.
Did you?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
What was the date again?
1964, wasn't it?
April 18th, 1930.
Ah, oh, damn. No, I didn't know that, though. I'm not lying.
Okay, no, I think that bit is known, so well done. So Steve gets a point there.
I didn't know that. No, so you lose a point and you gain a point for me, not just zero, basically
who cares? Steve, your final fact, is it Portsmouth-based?
Did you guys know that Arnold Schwarzenegger once lived in Portsmouth?
Which one? Portsmouth, that is.
Oh, you know what, actually? No, the UK one. He went to a South Sea gym in the 1960s.
He lived in Portsmouth?
He lived in Portsmouth for a little bit.
Why aren't there statues of Arnold Schwarzenegger all over Portsmouth? Why isn't he on the logo?
I don't know.
Also, ironically, why has he not been back?
Oh.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'll be back, .. But not to Portsmouth. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Really. And I don't think it's a lie. I can imagine that.
Yeah.
It's true.
There you go. Brilliant.
Little round there.
What a nice little round.
That was a really nice little round.
It's still a bit weird that he's on a stage in Portsmouth with all that noise around him.
Yeah, it's not going to be not weird.
It's not going to be not weird. Well, hopefully you've all learned something there. Hopefully you've added that to your transcriptions. And on that note, I will tell you something about, something special we're going to be doing in the next few weeks. I think you should be excited. I think you should be very excited.
Danny Wallace.
This is Radio X.
Because you're not here, Steve, I had to go and look at Nigel Farage on my own. a little routine. We do a little warm-up before each important broadcast. Me and Steve wander the halls until we come across Nigel Farage, who is broadcasting at a similar time from behind some glass. And we go and look at him like a sort of a human zoo, and then we get on with our day. And it just sets us up for the day, doesn't it?
Yeah, you've got to start the day with something absolutely bizarre.
So I did that on my own today. He's wearing a stripy shirt, like a businessman's stripy shirt, but the collar is plain, which I thought was interesting, a little detail that I've noted down.
Very yuppie.
I don't see you write any of this down, Steve.
Oh, sorry.
But you won't need to in future episodes, and I will reveal exactly why after this.
Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
Sorry about this, guys.
Sorry about what?
The racket.
Well, you know, you are on a stage in Portsmouth at a festival. You know, can you ask them to just shush up a bit?
I don't know if I can, you know.
Well, I'm sure you can if you put your mind to it. I'm sure you've got quite a commanding presence.
I reckon I'll go talk to them.
No, don't talk to them. Just start shouting now. Just lose it. Just lose it. And just be like, I am a broadcaster. You don't. And hold up the mic thing. So you say, I am a broadcaster.
I am a broadcaster.
And this is absolutely unacceptable.
It is unacceptable.
But then say it. Then tell them. Don't tell me.
Be quiet.
Louder, Steve.
Be quiet.
No. That's quieter. No,
big loud, Steve.
You what?
Oh, they're going to put his mic on the PA. Oh, well, this is
hello, everybody. please pay more attention to me up here. Stop walking around.
How to tell him to have a little respect.
Have a little respect for the broadcast, everyone. Come on, I know it's raining.
Is anyone listening to you?
Yeah, I've drawn a small crowd now.
Now say you are paid by Global Radio, but you would appreciate just a little bit extra if anyone's got anything.
I am paid by Global Radio, but if anyone's got anything extra that they'd like to donate, that would be great. Nobody is laughing.
That could be the tagline for the show.
Nobody's laughing. Yeah.
Well, Steve, thank you very much. That was just a bit we were recording there, so we'll put that on the podcast. So tell people that they can listen back to this magic moment on the podcast.
Remember, everyone, you can listen back to this magic on the Important Broadcast podcast, which you can get from all good podcast providers.
But again, remind them just to keep it down.
But can you please keep it down?
This is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Do you know what? Can you hear me, Steve?
Hello.
Yeah, who were you talking to just then? You were sort of making a sarcastic head bobble at a person off screen.
I was asking Robin to turn the mic up.
Oh, I see. Fair enough.
Thanks for bringing that to air.
You know me. I'm all about the details. Steve, guess what I did this week?
I don't know.
I found a woman online.
Oh, good. Well,
in America, and I paid her to do something very odd.
Okay.
What could I be talking about here? Well, that's just a fancy way of me introducing the idea that I sent the important broadcast to a woman who then transcribed it word for word, verbatim, including all ums and ers, any repetition that might have been there, any errors in grammar or syntax, all there, because every word counts. Then I sent that transcript to you. What did you think when you saw this 45 or so page document?
I find it very, very strange, Danny, that you did this.
It was strange, wasn't it? It was a strange thing to do. But why would I be doing that, Joe? What is the purpose of me having the wisdom and profound insights that we bring to the airwaves transcribed professionally by an American?
I would say that there's obviously a huge amount of value to listening to the broadcast.
Absolutely.
That's undeniable.
Yeah.
But there's a dimension that you can unlock and benefit from by reading the words from the page.
Reading the words as they were said, taking them in, perhaps listening along, and going, oh, that's interesting. Why did he say or there? Why does this appear to make no sense? Why did he begin a story and then not finish it off properly?
Yeah.
You know, who's this guy that keeps interjecting with odd stuff? Steve, obviously. And it's just a way of being able to do that, you know, a bit more. And so this document, we're going to have it leather-bound this week.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that, yeah.
And probably gold embossed.
I will inquire, but the budget will, of course, only be so big.
It has to be gold embossed.
Okay.
And remember, there were errors in the first Bibles, too, but this will be our sort of our holy text, if you like.
Yeah.
And we'll have one of them made, and then we can share that. Like with the school hamster.
Yes.
A senior listener might be able to take that home, learn from it, take it in, make their own copies if they want, add notes in the margins, and then they pass it on, spread the word, so to speak.
Yes, yeah. We don't want people to hold on to it for too long. Mm-mm. We don't want them to develop a fondness for it.
Or an over-reliance on the words in there.
Because it's a serious text.
It's a very serious text. What do you think the woman made of it who had to transcribe it? I didn't explain anything. I just said, would you type this up, please?
I have to say, I've looked at it, and there are some errors. So I can only imagine.
Like I say, the Bible had a few.
Of course. I think she was probably so overcome, probably with emotion.
Well, she's making her own notes and doing her own research as she goes on. And, oh, that's an interesting take. And then writing stuff down. So we will get that going. It will be the holy text of the important broadcast, which just gets more important as it goes. Final word from you, Steve.
All right.
Here's Portugal, the man.
This is Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Steve Ferdinando, what do you love more than anything else in the world?
You, Danny.
It's quizzes, isn't it?
Oh, quizzes, yeah.
Yeah. And I've written a little quiz for you, because what's the name of the festival that you are at?
Victorious.
Victorious. So what do you think the quiz could be about?
Victory.
Very good, Steve. You're fast, decisive, and you've absolutely nailed it.
Oh, great.
I will be asking you to determine the victors.
Okay.
Not right now, though. After this.
Radio X.
X. Danny Wallace.
You told us a story a little bit earlier on, Steve, an exclusive, a Radio X exclusive, which was that Sean Ryder beckoned you over and made you look at his teeth.
Yeah.
Now, what did you say? That's you know, because you're checking out a gentleman's teeth. He's very proud of them. Yeah. What is the correct response should that happen to anyone else?
I just kind of laughed and said, nice.
And was he happy with that?
Yeah. Then he walked off.
Wicked. And what other gossip have you got from the festival? Other strange moments, other exclusives?
We spoke to the Libertines about Pete Doherty eating a big breakfast.
Oh, yeah, because there was a story he was in a cafe somewhere, wasn't he? And he had a big breakfast. That was the big news.
Yeah, so he said to them, oh, is that a common occurrence? And they said, it's absolutely standard for him. He could eat that every day.
It was a big one, wasn't it?
It was a big old breakfast that he ate.
Okay, so we've covered Sean Ryder's teeth. Pete Doherty had a big breakfast. Anything else?
Oh, I fell over yesterday as well.
Great.
And big news.
Yeah. So how did you fall over and how did it rectify itself?
I don't know how I fell. I just tripped over my own feet in the crowd.
Right.
And I fell on some cups.
So you've not really got many stories. We're going to have to justify whether this was worth the expense.
I would say stay tuned for Gordon Smart, because he has got a lot coming up on his show, including a chat with Paul Weller.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. Steve, Victorious Festival, I've got a little quiz for you, OK? We're going to play that right now, and then you can say goodbye.
Okie dokie.
So, this is the Victorious Quiz, and I ask you, Steve Ferdinando, the Scottish-Norwegian War of 1262 over who owned the Hebrides, who was victorious?
The Scottish.
Absolutely. Sonic versus Mario, who ultimately was victorious?
Mario.
Yes, he sold 222 million copies of his video game. Sonic, a mere 70 million. Blur versus Oasis. What sold more, Roll With It or Country House, Steve?
Oh, Country House.
Blur sold 274,000 copies. Roll With It, 216,000. English Breakfast versus Continental Breakfast. Which is most popular, Steve?
Oh, let's go for English Breakfast.
Well, it's actually Continental. The English Breakfast tends to be served in England, whereas the Continental Breakfast is served in all 50 countries on the continent, including Britain. Clue very much in the name there, Steve. Who hosted the Big Breakfast the longest, Johnny Vaughan or Chris Evans?
Oh, Johnny Vaughan.
Yes, Vaughan did it from 97 to 2001. Evans, 92 to 94. Victory for Vaughan. And finally, who was taller, Churchill or Hitler?
Churchill.
You're saying Churchill, and why are you saying that?
I don't know, he just had a big presence, didn't he?
He did have a big presence, God bless him. Churchill was 5'5". Hitler, 5'7". A victory for Hitler. We never thought we'd say it, but we just said it. So what did you get after that?
I was writing lots of things, doing other things, basically not doing my job. He did really well, though.
That's good. Well done. You were writing down a note that just said, Gordon will be giving away £500. What, to Steve for that?
No, not to Steve, to a lucky, lucky listener.
Well, there you go. Stay tuned for Gordon Smart. He'll be throwing money at you. It's not a bribe. It'll be some kind of competition mechanic, I imagine. Steve, say goodbye from Victorious.
Goodbye from Victorious.
And we'll be back same time next week. The podcast will begin up a bit later on. There's loads of extra stuff on there. If you want a true behind-the-scenes kind of look or listen, poor Steve Ferdinando sitting there sopping wet, being stared at. No one knows why he's there. No one can hear him. There's very little point in being there. You heard the type of news he's been uncovering. Sean Ryder's got some teeth. Pete Doherty had breakfast. He fell over. How much? I'm going to find out how much it costs. Back next week. Here's The Cure.
Is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Well, that was podcast 33 from the Important Broadcast. Steve, I noticed something about you. You know, we were on air for 2 hours there, and I understand you've had a hard task. You're away from your pals. You're out in the wild. You're being exposed to civilians. Mm. You're wet. You're sort of windswept. And your enthusiasm waned, I would say, perhaps halfway through. Now, I believe that with hindsight, the listener will notice that. They'll probably have made their own comments to their listening partners about it. So I'm giving you the chance now to show some enthusiasm, to show some excitement.
Okay.
You're being paid to be on a stage in Portsmouth. I mean, you know... no one can dream of such a thing.
No, I'm very happy. This is great. And you know what? And it's brightening up a bit here as well. There's lots of people around now. It's all picking up. There's a band on. It's wonderful.
And what do you want to say to the listener? Any listeners who may have found themselves concerned, perhaps let down even?
Oh, I can only apologise if I've let anyone down, and I'm fine.
We'll be back next week, won't we? But you'll be in the studio again.
Yes, I will be in the studio, yes. I look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not actually going to be there.
Oh, right. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in a park in Barnsley. Or I might be here. Who knows? We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Radio
X. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.